And you are joined by Malte Rover-Kallmann. How are you doing, sir?
Very well, Kino. How are you?
Always good to have you on. Now, you obviously, I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Malte, of course, is in Berlin. And the big story, really, on the would be the climate strikes taking place globally today. This is after months of corona-induced breaks globally. Protesters will be taking to the streets and social media, for that matter, again to demand action on the climate emergency. And if one just thinks about some of the photos that surfaced, you know, during lockdown of the Venice canals clearing up and not looking like a cesspool of dirt, that was one of the things. If one looks at China and the air quality around China during lockdown, it all cleared up pretty nicely. We saw in the Western Cape seals leaving the beach and walking across the road. Penguins doing exactly the same thing. And so for quite some time during lockdown, human beings, the virus, was locked up. But now people are going to be protesting in Berlin, Malte. Let's talk about that.
Yes, exactly. I mean, they've planned several things. They planned bike tours. They planned a sit-in in front of the Brandenburg Gate, all, of course, with the necessary COVID-19 restrictions. But you know what? It's raining. It's raining quite heavily, and we'll see how many people are actually turning up. But, you know, these days, it's perfectly acceptable to take to social media anyway. Organizers have said anyway, if you can't come to the strike, if COVID-19 restrictions are too strong where you are, just protest online. And I guess that's what some people are going to do. All over Germany, there are protests in more than 400 cities and towns, and there are protests, in fact, in over 3,000 places across the world. I just had a look at the map before I went into the studio, and there should be some in Cape Town as well.
I think there will be, without a doubt. Now, you know, the focus of this protests, of this particular protests, are so-called MAPA, M-A-P-A. What is that?
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the spotlight of this protest, or what protesters really want to highlight in this protest. And MAPA, that's the most affected people in areas, and that's kind of paying tribute or highlighting the fact that climate change is kind of caused by a very few countries mainly, but the consequences are often, you know, the brunt is often borne by you know, the people in developing countries. And there's just a study out by Oxfam earlier this week, actually, that said the emissions of the richest 1% in the world are more than double of that, than the poorest half of the world's population. And this is just crazy. And this, again, goes to show that, you know, this climate change problem is a global problem that we can only solve if all countries of the world come together and find a solution that's not only just to the climate, but also socially just.
Which is why we should all be driving Teslas, to be honest with you. I mean, if one just thinks about the United States, for example, and then also China and the emissions there. And you've got big, big places like India as well. And the contribution that those countries make. I mean, are those, if one looks at the numbers that you just mentioned, the 1%, where do they mainly emanate from? Do we know?
I mean, yeah, it's the richest 1%. So it would be the Western industrialized countries. In fact, the study also said that since 1990, about 90% of all global emissions came from Western countries, which is just insane if you look at these numbers. And then again, you know, these are not necessarily the people who feel the consequences the strongest, you know.
No, of course not, because they got the money to guard against that, right? Anyway. Now, has the pandemic itself affected the movement in any way?
Exactly. Yeah. If we look back 1 year, I mean, there were millions of people taking part in this global climate strike. And this is, of course, not possible in times of COVID, just because, you know, you have to socially distance. You can't have that many people protesting. A lot of people have restrictions in place that, you know, limit the number of people who can show up at a protest. And so, like so many other things that of public life, that protest has moved online mainly. But it's also an attention thing, I think, because if you look back to the beginning of the year, before COVID was the defining story of the year, it looked like climate change was going to be the defining topic of the year.
Yep.
Over here, that's everyone was talking about it. Greta Thunberg was at Davos, talking to the big bosses. You know, BlackRock, one of the biggest investment firms in the world, has said they're going to invest more into green energy. These were all the things. But then obviously the coronavirus came, and that kind of took the spotlight of attention.
Yeah.
But guess what? You know, Bangladesh is still flooded. California is still burning. There are freak weather events almost everywhere in the world. I guess everyone can kind of tell a story of how something has changed related to the weather in their area. And that's the message of the protesters today. You know, climate change hasn't disappeared. It's just kind of taken a back seat because we had to deal with a global pandemic.
Well, I think you can almost count the global pandemic as one of the protesters, because it's kept us off the streets. Our cars were locked up in garages for those countries who use vehicles on a regular basis. Oceans were clear. I mean, I remember during lockdown, and it was quite eerie. You know, you drive into work and you go down this N1 highway and you go into the city of Cape Town, and there are flocks of birds sitting on the N1 highway. That would never have happened.
No.
You know, yeah. And once again, all the other stuff that I mentioned as well. Now, you know, as if one talks about the lockdowns around the world, have they, and let's talk about this from a quantitative perspective, have they actually helped lower the emissions?
They have. They have, absolutely. I mean, it's economies that are standing still, you know, firms that are not, companies, the factories that are not producing. Passenger air traffic was down almost completely. And then, as you mentioned, people stayed at home. They didn't use their cars. Global emissions were down almost 20% on some days. The question is, will this have a long-term effect? And unfortunately, I'm gonna have to say maybe.
Yeah.
There's a new study out that say these global reductions in emissions temporarily are good and well, and they, you know, if we go back to business as usual and just keep doing what we did before the pandemic, this will only have the effect of like 0.01 degrees less global warming until 2030. The solution would be to do things differently, to use this moment in time to invest in a green recovery, invest into renewable energies, invest into more sustainable transport options. And again, that's what these young people all over the world are protesting for today. They're calling on their governments to do exactly that.
Mm-hmm. And we support them, quite frankly. I think a lot of people are driven primarily by profit motive. And if at the end of the day, it's not going to make sense to your bottom line short term, if you're going to have a sad looking P&L, then people tend to do what they used to do, because it's short termism, as some people call it. And that is one of our biggest threats.
Indeed.
And it's, I mean, I'm just happy young people are standing up and saying, hey, don't screw it up for the rest of us, please. But I don't think too many adults pay attention to that, sadly. Yeah. But Malte, great
because
one.
They're going to have to.
No, sorry, you were saying.
Yeah, I was just going to say, these young people, they're going to have to be around for a bit longer, you know, on this planet.
So yeah, well, exactly.
I guess they have a special motivation to kind of stand
up. Can you imagine them and their grandchildren when they're going, oh, remember trees? Those were wonderful things, weren't they? Yes. We used to have something called wildlife. It's all disappeared. Yes. But you can go to the museum and see what a lion looks like. And unfortunately, if one even just looks at the rhino, for example, that could very well be the case.
Wow. Yeah.
And that
that's
is sad.
So sad.
No, it is. It is indeed. But listen, what's your weekend looking like?
Rainy, I guess. Other than that, I'm helping a mate of mine move houses, so I'm doing a bit of good deed.
You're a good mate, eh? Nothing wrong with that. Malte, have a good one. Great chatting as always.
Yes, thank you very much, Kino. Have a good day.
Absolute pleasure. Isn't it weird saying Kino? I mean, is Kino not cinema in Germany?
Yes, it is indeed. Yeah, I haven't even thought about that. Yeah, that's true. Weird. When I'm talking English, I completely forget about the German side of it.
Listen, have a great one, man. Look forward to our next chat.
You too.
Cheers,
looking
man.
Forward to.
Thanks, hey.
Cheers.
That is Malte Rovert-Kallmann, who is our correspondent at Deutsche Welle in Berlin. It's 10:17. I'm Kino Kamis with you all the way through until midday.